We are looking at Reformation and Revival. My theme text is Leviticus 26, 23, and 24. God says very plainly, if you will not be reformed by me by these things that I have told you, but will walk contrary to me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. I say to you tonight, our society is lonely. This is not something that you might guess by looking around. People will have moments of happiness and so on. But it's a singularly lonely society, and the cues to that are all about us. We understand that's not a good thing, being lonely, being alone, being isolated. Genesis 2:18a, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Leviticus 13:46, who did he command to be set apart? All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone. It is part of the uncleanness of our age that isolates people. Without the camp, outside the camp, shall his habitation be. And when David was experiencing the problems of sin, Psalm 88:18, lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. That sense of being alone. We have a positive, constructive message to give to our world. And that is, first of all, that God offers a relationship of love. We need to be settled in this thing. What is Christianity to you? And it's only when you understand that, it's only as you understand what it means to you that you are going to be able to give it to others in any kind of meaningful way. But our generation is hungry. It hungers for love, for beauty, for meaning. And yet, at the edge of all of those things, they say everything that we know means that none of these things are real. American churches need a reformation of the truth of the Word of God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism has long been the standard for teaching proper doctrine, but people often quote the first question and answer. Catechism is a series of questions and answers, and they shorten it. And this makes it untrue, true just to an extent, but generally untrue. Here it is, question number one. What is the chief end, meaning purpose, what is the chief end of man? What is the great purpose of man? And the answer to be taught and learned and recited is this answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But when churches and theologians shorten the answer, it reads, man's chief end is to glorify God, period. But you see how this changes man's whole view of life into a mere duty. God comes in and now he gives you a whole new set of duties. And just go about doing step by step, work by work, do the duty, and you'll be okay. But it missed the whole point of enjoying it. Here's what we need to understand, that the very purpose of God creating living beings was to invite them to join the loving relationship he has within the Trinity, within the triunity. He invites us to love and be loved. This is why the whole Calvinistic predestination thing fails. Because to them it's whatever he does, whatever he wants, whatever he makes true, he will save us or he won't. But what he's doing is inviting us to love him. And if it's not that, then there is no love. We're just chosen and commanded to do something. They've missed that. So we recognize that there are duties within the loving relationship, as there is with husband and wife. But this involves duties, but they're all enjoyable because we are motivated by love. When love motivates you, you're eager to do it. You're happy to see it accomplished. So we bear within us, because of how God has made us, our mind, our will, our emotions, He's made us the way we are, we bear within us the longing to fulfill the purpose for which we were made. This fulfillment extends to our physical and mental health and even our circumstances in life. If we are living according to the God who also made the universe, we fit into that universe. We're not arguing against it. We're not getting rubbed raw by the universe. We fit in. We are just part of God's plan. Physical health, Exodus 15:26, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." And so God put within his law all these wonderful, healthy things. The quarantine of the sick, the washing of things very clearly under running water, recognizing that sick people can contaminate the things that they touch, and so you don't touch those. And if they die sick, you burn their bedding, you get rid of everything. But if it's a metal pot, you can just put it into the fire and clean it that way and then reuse it. But the wooden things, you have to burn it up. So he says, in my law, in my way of doing things, you will be healthier than otherwise. And you just look around, you see the people, you know, smoking and or vaping now is the big deal, putting other chemicals into your body. How smart is that, you know, really? Now they keep finding out all these problems being caused by vaping. So, and drugs, you know. Give me something that'll make me go insane for a while. And the health, completely damaged by that. The idea that you have to be a skinny little girl to be pretty. How horrible is that? Had a man whose wife was nicely rounded, and he said, "I don't want to lean my head over and get stuck in the ear with a shoulder blade, you know." He says, I like people well padded. So physical health, one of the promises. Mental health. Mental health, you go to the doctor, he says, "Well, you have a disease, and I have drugs for your mental health." And this is just a go-around thing where over a period of time, these very drugs cause other problems. Psalm 1:1-2, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." But on the other side, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." He says, you're excited to find out how God can be pleased. What can you do that will be in line with God's way? You will be delighted. You will be blessed by not walking in the path of the others who think they know more than God. And again, Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Peace in the valley, Gary's saying. The thing that we long for. But we can have that here. "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Faith is the opposite of fear. If you are dealing with fear, find out what you're supposed to have faith in. What part of God, what promise of God, what carefulness of God may you trust. And when you have the faith, you lose the fear. perfect love casteth out fear, the Bible tells us. And that love is because you recognize that this is not a God who's just waiting to get you. This is a God who loves you and is telling you the right thing to do. Then even the circumstances of life. And this is, I don't know if we can explain it, but God's putting all these things together. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding within the wisdom of God giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. You look around, you see the people that are just doing wrong, and their lives are falling apart. The Christian life is not a negation of life. It is a fulfillment. Let us never give people the sense that Christianity is all about the things we cannot do. I'm a Christian because I don't do this, and I don't do this, and I don't do this. Well, sit in a corner, don't do anything. Is that a Christian? The Christian life is an affirmation of a fulfilled life. This is what Christ was trying to say to us when he was talking to living people, obviously. Notice what he said, John 5:40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. He's talking to people that didn't have full life. He said, if you come to me, I can give that to you. John 10:10b. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is what he intended for us, what he gave to Adam and Eve. Following the path of sin robs you of fulfilled life. John 20:31. These things are written, he says, if I tried to write down everything that Christ did, all the world wouldn't even be able to contain the books. But what I have written here in the book of John, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We can experience, I don't even know how to express this, we can experience fulfillment to the highest possible level. In personality, in every part of life. We can experience this when we are on the track of the Christian way. Today, lacking the needed reformation of doctrine and the internal revival of life, many professing Christians live a life without the excitement of fulfillment. It just has become another religion to them. It's just a thing they do. They do it religiously. They're counting on something to happen here because they went to church, they attended the church, they participated in the group sessions or whatever, you know. But it's not something that has gripped their heart. It's not something that says, now my life is open and meaningful. This is what we really offer. Let me explain to you then, secondly, that rejecting God rejects life that's worth living. You know, the story of the man, he says, I was in tough times, and six people came from this way with guns, and this six people came from this way with knives, and people came from the other side with bombs, you know, and they all attacked me at once. And the person said, well, how did you get out of there alive? And he says, you call this living? Well, a lot of people are going through a life that they don't call living at all. This is, you know, get me to some alcoholic break from reality. Get me to some drug. Send me to some party where I take drugs and dance crazy and lights are flashing in my eyes. And this is, boy, I'm really living, you know. My pastor, as we were growing up, would tell from time to time the story about the man who went to a funeral, and he saw a guy who was so proud of his little sports car convertible that he wanted to be buried in it. So they embalmed him sitting behind the wheel of the car. and they had a big bulldozer thing pull out a lot of dirt, and then a crane lifted up the car, put it over and put it down the hole, covered him over. And his friend is standing there and he says, "Man, that's living." Really? That's it, huh? Buried in the dirt behind a fancy car. They don't know what living is. They're accepting cheap substitutes, or even expensive substitutes. Our generation is proud of their intellectual removing of God from the equation of life. But they did not realize that what they were losing something when they threw all that out with the bathwater. Because rejecting the God who is light leaves them, if you could see the truth, leaves them in internal darkness. They don't know what to do, where to go, how to live a life, because they rejected the light of God. Rejecting the God who is life leaves them in spiritual death. And rejecting the God who is love leaves them in despair. The Bible talks about the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Gnashing is the grinding of teeth. People grind their teeth when they're in stress. Dentists are finding that people under stress have these teeth that are being filed off by grinding. And sometimes even in their sleep, or when they should be sleeping, they're just grinding their teeth. This is despair. This is the giving up on life. The problems we face in the United States of America are not merely economic or political or cultural. The problems we face are a direct result of living and thinking apart from God and apart from His way. I want to emphasize this concept of God's way. In the Asian countries, there's Taoism. It's spelled with a T, but it's pronounced Taoism. Well, the Tao is not stocks and bonds. The Tao is the word for way. And so it could be thought of as the rules of life. It could be thought of as the path you ought to follow. And so they have all their invented religious concepts of following the way and how to fit in to that way. But you and I have a way. We have the real Tao. We have the one that God made. Jeremiah, we were talking about earlier, Jeremiah wrote to those who were already under God's wrath. And here's what he said. Jeremiah 5, 4 and 5. "Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish. And what made them foolish? For they know not the way of the Lord." You see, do you know enough about God? Do you know enough about what He wants? Do you know enough about what He hates and what He loves that you could follow His way in this life? "They know not the way of the Lord. They're poor and they're foolish, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me into the great men, will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord," the path of greatness, "and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds." He said they didn't follow God's way. So we look around, we are experiencing the death of man. The death by actual physical death, but people choosing drugs and things for mental death, people going into extremes of occultism and false witchcraft and all these things, just philosophies, seeking some power, some control in this life. And this is spiritual suicide. We look around. People are living their zombie lives, excuse my silly concepts here, but they're living zombie lives that know only desire and hunger, but they have no real life meaning. It's just about getting and devouring. This is the zombies. Brains, I want brains, you know. They have no real life. They have no contemplation. They have no understanding. Just wants. If you think about the people who are being sensitive to these things, these are the artists that pay attention to that. I want you to think how many artists are producing dramas about the end of the world and life without purpose. The zombie apocalypse. There's a sense that we've just lost meaning of life. And that's the attack upon the meaning of life. Asteroids will come, bombs will blow up, secret formulas will escape out of virus labs and change everybody. And a lot of people are watching this, saying, I get the feeling we're under attack for the end of the world. America has lost its Christian base. Our morality is dying. Our sense of duty is dying. For whatever reason, people aren't taking up jobs anymore. What's that all about? See? There's no sense of duty. I ought to be faithful in my job, in a job. The very joy of a job well done is dying. Just do it, get paid, you know, slop it through, do the minimum. The things that have made America great are dying out. So like us, and like Jeremiah, I should say, let us weep for the dead and dying. Let us bewail this, because literally they don't know what they have, what they've lost. Lamentations 1:16. For these things I weep, my eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve, should bring back my soul, is far from me. My children, this is why he's weeping. He sees the Jewish nation as his children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. The great enemy of Satan is winning. Let me close with this thought. Our only answer is a relationship with God. Our Christianity demands that we believe in certain doctrines of truth. We understand that. Confessing Jesus Christ as our Savior. But it also demands we see things from God's point of view. Don't lose that idea. We need to see things as God sees them. We need to see sin for sin. We need to see fulfillment of life in the way that he looks at it. Only as we persuade men to restore a belief in God who can really give fulfillment is there any hope for our nation. We are offering them not a chance to stop doing anything of interest, anything of fun, a negation of life. We are offering them fulfillment of life, to share in our life that is filled with meaning, that is satisfactory with fulfillment. Until we are convinced, if you and I are convinced that there's no other way, then we're not ready to begin the constructive revolution that we need. If we think we can do one other thing before we get into this whole religious way of doing it, if we depend on psychology, sociology, philosophy to heal our land, we're not ready for reformation and revival. But if our perspective is the perspective of the Word of God, we will offer no cheap solutions and we'll understand God's judgment among us. that the consequences of evil around us are the judgment of God, who told us don't do that because it's bad for you, and now it's bad for us, and he's right. The judgment of God. Let's pray. Father, we long for a nation that is at rest, at peace, a nation that is not easily pitted against one another, one rank against another, one race against another, one philosophy against another. We long to have that valley of peace where people can help each other and be concerned for one another instead of arguing and bringing lawsuits against one another and hating each other for what they have or what they don't have. I ask, Father, that you might help us to see we need to be desperate about this thing, and we need to be convinced that the only way to overcome it is to offer to people a true fulfillment of their life that comes only with Christ, only with the admission that we don't know everything, and that the decisions that have been made by those that we're following in history have taken us away from the truth, not toward a new truth. Father, help us to commit our lives to this, to recognize that as we talk to others, as we deal with others, that one way or another, there ought to be some way of urging them, nudging them toward the truth, of saying, life is good, life is happy, life is fulfilled for me. Is it for you? Father, if we can accomplish this, we can show them that Christianity is that which they really desire but didn't know. With heads bowed, eyes closed, are there those here that would say, Pastor, I want to do this. I want to be this kind of Christian. I want to be the one who, in talking to people, find that my speech, my chit-chat, actually centers around the things of God. That we would say, this reminds me of the Bible verse that says, this reminds me of what we heard at church that says, are you willing to be that person? Are you willing to be that influence? Are you willing to be a light in the darkness? Are you willing to be the salt that holds back the corruption from growing? If that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up and say yes? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Father, then we do commit ourselves to thee. We ask that you might take our every word, our every connection with people, our any ability we have to reach others, and turning them to that which offers fulfillment and love, the very opposite of loneliness. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.